The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Issa. In the headlines, government finally designates special place between Castle Drive and the Marine Drive in Accra as presidential mausoleum. Vice President designate Parkwisi Emisa Arthur continues to receive more endorsements. Number of government workers besiege offices of Controller and Accountant General for delayed July salaries. EC confirms over 4,000 multiple entries in biometric voter register. Government secures $100 million World Bank credit for commercial agricultural project. And UN Arab Peace Envoy to Syria, Kofi Annan, resigns.
As the nation unites in its grief over the death of former President Moon, let's talk of some of the pearls of wisdom he left behind.
We cannot all have the same views, political and non-political. Indeed, diversity usually brings the best out of people. We should therefore be tolerant. We should therefore be understanding. And we should always have one aim and objective, to seek the best interest of our dear nation. Ghana is the only nation that we have. I therefore would want to request all of you, whatever differences we may have as individuals, to embark on what will in the end inure to the benefit of our dear nation.
That was the late President John Evans Atta Mills talking about the need for unity and peace in diversity.
The news in detail. President John Mahama has decided that the remains of President John Evans Atta Mills be laid to rest next week Friday, August 10, at a specially designated place between Castle Drive and the Marine Drive in Accra. A statement signed by the chairman of the Funeral Planning Committee, Kofi Totobi Kwache, said the area will be subsequently developed into a presidential mausoleum. It said the decision follows consultations and recommendations of the Funeral Planning Committee. The chief executive officer of the defunct Millennium Development Authority, Martin Esson Benjamin, says the best way Ghana can develop is for politicians to emulate the all-inclusive nature of late President John Evans Atta Mills and do their best when given the opportunity. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Esson Benjamin said President Mills raised the bar of public service very high, and that calls for a standard measure for all politicians and technocrats. A political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwesi Jonah, has described the choice of Parkwisi Emisa Arthur as vice president as appropriate. He said the argument that Mr. Arthur is more of a technocrat than a politician does not hold water. According to him, the country needs people of such stature to solve the teething problems confronting it. He spoke to Agatha Asamoah on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News.
People play different roles in the political movement. If you set up a political party, there will be those who will be very, very conspicuous on platforms and so on and so forth. There will be others who will be doing very serious intellectual work behind the scenes. And there may be others who may be financing quietly. All of these people are needed in the movement. I think a lot of the criticisms that are being leveled against AB Elisa at the moment are very, very valid. But let me say this. Akwesi is very well connected to very powerful forces within the NDC. And it is likely that by the mere fact of being elevated to this very high position within the party, a lot more people will be willing to make resources available to campaign more vigorously for the victory of the party in the coming elections. For me, I think the president has made the kind of choice he really, really needs at this particular point in time. And let us support the president's choice.
In effect, you are saying those who say that he hasn't been in frontline politics has no case.
Why does everybody have to be in the front line? If you have people shouting, trogoy, but there's nobody doing the thinking, you are not going anywhere.
But do technocrats make good politicians?
Look, let me say this. In 1996, when president of the time, Fly Lieutenant General John Rawlins, chose Professor John Evans Atanor as his running mate, how many people in this country sincerely knew Professor John Evans Atanor as a strong NDC person? How many people in this country would at that time accept Professor John Evans Atanor as a politician?
With his economic background, what does he bring, or what will be his economic influence on the NDC party as a whole?
Mr. Akwesi Emesan Atta is better placed to know the kind of macroeconomic policies that are required for an oil exporting economy like Ghana at this particular point in time. He knows pressures on the CDs, the huge import bill. He knows all the problems. So having a person like that as vice president, he may not be a huge charismatic politician and so on and so forth, but he needs a crack technocrat, level-headed, to support him.
On the vetting of Mr. Arthur, Dr. Jonah said it is a constitutional flaw.
I am completely opposed to Mr. KB and Mr. Arthur. He should be vetted. There's no word like vetting in the Constitution.
So there is a lapse in the Constitution which needs to be looked at.
There is nothing in the Constitution which gives the Appointments Committee the power to grant him or do anything. I think all that Parliament has to do, the nomination should be presented and they should vote whether they accept the President's nomination or not.
Political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwesi Jonah. A former first Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Ken Jirasa, says the Vice President's nominee, Pa Kwesi Emesan-Atta, should go through the vetting process of Parliament. He said though the vetting of a Vice President is not captured in the Constitution, it is an opportunity for the reviewers of the law to consider it.
The principle and practice in Parliament is that Parliament is the master of its own rules and procedures. So Parliament can change its rules as and when it becomes necessary. This principle has what we call a judicial blessing. In the case of J.H. Mensah versus the Attorney General and the Clerk of Parliamentary Defenders, you'll recall that in 1996-97, during the second term of His Excellency President Rawlins, they submitted a list of holdover ministers who the Appointments Committee was to nominally consider and then pass for the attention of the larger house. J.C. Mensah went to court and requested that the Supreme Court declared that the process that the Appointments Committee and Parliament had engaged in order to clear the ministers for them to continue to stay in their respective offices was contrary to the Constitution. Based on this principle, I think that the current Parliament had the right to fashion the procedure for approving or disapproving presidential nominee. It doesn't matter whether the person is a vice president or a minister. That person, within the context of this debate, is a presidential nominee for the configuration of Parliament. So Parliament now has the opportunity to fashion its rules, since this is unprecedented, whether to refer the matter to the Appointment Committee or to just come and rubber stamp it without debate on the floor of the House. The only precaution is that Parliament must act in such a way that its conduct does not constitute an embarrassment to the generality of the Ghanaian populace.
Former First Deputy Speaker of Parliament, Ken Jirasa. Meanwhile, the Minister for Trade and Industry, Hannah Tete, has described the nomination of Mr. Emesan-Atta for the position of Vice President as a good choice. In a statement copied to the GNA, Madame Tete said President John Mahama has made a very good choice and added that she had the pleasure of knowing Mr. Emesan-Atta for a number of years and could say with confidence that he is competent, knowledgeable, experienced, and a fine gentleman. He said Mr. Emesan-Atta was a great friend of the late President Atamel's, and his commitment to the National Democratic Congress is unequivocal. Madame Tete said she will always be loyal and steadfast in her support to the President, the new Vice President, and the National Democratic Congress, as she looks forward to working with them to continue to develop the country and improve the lives of Ghanaians. The chairman of the National Peace Council, Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Asante, has called on Ghanaians not to toy with the current peace the country is enjoying. He said political parties should educate their supporters to not to conduct themselves in a manner that has the tendency to create chaos. Most Reverend Asante was speaking on GTV's current affairs program, Election Platform. He said leaders of political parties should take a cue from what has happened in countries such as Kenya and Cote d'Ivoire.
I always hear people saying that Ghanaians are peace-loving people, and I like to believe that. People who visited La Cote d'Ivoire, Liberia, Kenya, will tell you that they never ever thought that those countries will get to the stage where they are. And so we should not take anything for granted. We are grateful to God for the peaceful atmosphere that we are enjoying. But we shouldn't think that we are the only ones God loves, that those people, God didn't love them. We should continue to talk about the things that we shouldn't do to jeopardize the peace that we have.
The General Secretary of the PNC, Bernard Mwana, emphasized the need for political parties to abide by the political party code. This, he noted, will help bring sanity into the political landscape. Mr. Mwana also reminded political actors to emulate the late President Mills by desisting from insults.
Every political party has many copies as possible. But you see, I think demeanor matters in all this. And that is why probably all of us are almost mourning that we lost the president, whose demeanor was said that even the worst opponent could come and say all manner of things and his response would be a joke. Or he say he's do little, he said it's better than do nothing. So it appears that such demeanor should transcend to every facet of our society, that we have ideas to move our nation forward. Those ideas are not anchored on insults. Those ideas are not anchored on foul language. And the fact that we are able to state our view without attacking somebody's personality is what makes us the better option for the people of Ghana.
A leading member of the CPP, Suzanne Duamankwa, said the CPP has always engaged in decent campaigns and urged the other political parties to do the same. The Public Accounts Committee of Parliament, PAC, has directed the Accra Metropolitan Education Directorate to refund the capitation grant of 7,000 Ghana cedis used to convene PTA meetings. That is because the use of the amount for that purpose was against the guidelines of the capitation grant policy, which indicates that it should be used to improve school enrollment, cultural activities, and sports. The chairman of PAC, Albert Kandapa, directed that if officers in charge are unable to refund the amount, they ought to be sanctioned to serve as a deterrent to others. The committee gave the directive yesterday when it examined how the grant was used in the Greater Accra region in 2009 and 2010. Mr. Kandapa said auditors also detected that some of the lists used to make claims were not the same that the directorate used to distribute the amount to schools in the metropolis. The committee members also appealed to the Ministry of Finance and Economic Planning to release the grant on time to avoid the situation where such monies are released when the schools are on vacation. A former director of the Eastern Regional Center for National Culture, J.K. Ankama, says the low patronage of locally manufactured textiles has contributed to the collapse of the industry. He said this development has a great repercussion on the economy, as many people are losing their jobs. Mr. Ankama called on government to revamp the textiles industry. He made this known to newsmen after presenting a paper at the Regional Policy Fair on Culture and the Economy in Perspective in Kofodria. We bring you a news desk report.
Mr. Ankama said the Ghana Textile Print and Akosombo Textile Limited, the major textile manufacturers in the country, are struggling to survive, whilst entrepreneurs in the batik and tie and dye businesses have been thrown out of business. Mr. Ankama stressed that the local textile manufacturing companies should be supported to enable them to sustain the production of local and indigenous textiles. He said culture is not only about dancing and drumming, but involves the way of dressing of the people. He appealed to the government to encourage Ghanaians and all departments and agencies to patronize locally produced textiles. He said statistics have shown that since 2000, about 20,000 employees in the textile industry have lost their jobs because of the collapse of the industry. This figure is aside that of the many young people who were trained in batik and tie and dye over the last 10 years that are out of business for lack of market for their products.
Now the news desk report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. Government finally identifies place between Castle Drive and the Marine Drive in Accra as final resting place of President Mills. Vice President Designate Parkwesi Emisaafa continues to receive more endorsements. Number of government workers besiege offices of Control and Accountant General's Department for delayed July salaries. EC confirms over 4,000 multiple entries in biometric voter register. Government secures $100 million World Bank credit for commercial agriculture project. And UN Arab Peace Envoy to Syria, Kofi Annan, resigns. Do stay tuned.
As the nation united in grief over the death of former President Moon, let's pause for some of the powerful wisdom he left behind.
We cannot all have the same views, political and non-political. Indeed, diversity usually brings the best out of people. We should therefore be tolerant. We should therefore be understanding. And we should always have one aim and objective, to seek the best interest of our dear nation. Ghana is the only nation that we have. I therefore would want to request all of you, whatever differences we may have as individuals, to embark on what will in the end inure to the benefit of our dear nation.
That was the late President John Evans Atamo talking about the need for unity and peace in diversity.
Welcome back. A large number of public servants on government payroll besieged the Cape Coast Office of the Control and Accountant General for non-payment of their July salaries. The workers, most of them from the health, education and local government services, had their salaries not credited to their accounts at the various banks when they checked. Reasons cited included failure to register during the recent biometric registration conducted for government workers by the Control and Accountant General's Department. Meanwhile, some others who registered did not also have their salaries. The situation resulted in a near stampede as the workers struggled in a queue to either register or inquire about the reason for the delay of their salaries. The Electoral Commission has detected over 4,000 deliberate entries in the biometric voter register. The acting public affairs director of the commission, Christian Osupare, who disclosed this to Radio Ghana, said the commission will in due course publish the names of those involved. He said those who feel aggrieved can appeal through the courts. He spoke on Radio Ghana's current affairs program, Behind the News.
About some 22,000 multiple entries were detected, and there was an adjudicating committee that looked at every case of double entry, and they have so far confirmed over 4,000 double entries that were done deliberately, and these are the ones that the commission plans to remove from the voters register. In the coming days, the commission may publish the names of the people who have been found to have done double registration, multiple double registration deliberately in the newspaper.
Mr. Parwan, we say, how sure are you that you are not victimizing innocent people unduly?
We will make sure that we do not disenfranchise anybody unduly. And it is one reason why we want to put the name in the newspaper. We want to give the opportunity to people whose names will be put in the papers, the opportunity to come forward and prove to the commission that they are not one and the same person, so that if within a certain period of time they are unable to do that, then their names are taken off the voters register. When we go for the exhibition, we're going to print the register of those names that have been deleted on account of multiple entries, and then when they go to the exhibition will not find their names in the register, and they can always petition and prove that indeed they didn't do double registration. So all of them have the opportunity to defend themselves before we print the final voters register.
So if a person's name appear in the published papers, the person should come to the Electoral Commission?
Yes.
the Acting Public Affairs Director of the Electoral Commission, Christian Usupari. Meanwhile, the National Coordinator of CODEO, John Lavi, says the step taken by the EC is in the right direction. According to him, those found culpable should be made to face the full rigors of the law.
If indeed people actually flouted the rules, these are offenses under the Registration of Voters Act. It means that if you do that and you are caught and you are sent to court, you are punished. You pay some fines or you go to prison or both. So if you are discovered to have done that, you are given the benefit of the doubt to come and prove that indeed the Electoral Commission has mistaken somebody else for you. So you go and claim that no, it's not you. And that is during the exhibition when your names are going to be there again.
Now the EC says it is publishing their names in the news. Couldn't it have been done in a different way?
How different? I mean, you have done wrong and the Electoral Commission through its procedures have discovered that you have done it multiple times. I think they have the documents there to show you that you have registered in this polling station, you went to another polling station and disguised yourself and registered again with a different name or change number. The fingerprints are there, that will catch you. So if they have done all that and you still think that you have been mistaken, just go and prove it during the exhibition.
If any person feels aggrieved because though he registered once, his name appears on the published list, what, in your opinion, is the proper?
If the Electoral Commission removes your name and therefore you are not in the voters register, they will send your name to the police to investigate and they may prosecute you. But if you disagree, then you yourself can go to court and contest that. You have all the rights to prove yourself innocent before the law. It's about time now for us in Ghana, after several years of practicing our electoral democracy, to enforce the rules. I mean, if you misbehave, then you must be punished.
National Coordinator of CODEO, John Lavi. The government has secured the $100 million credit from the World Bank and USAID for the implementation of the Ghana Commercial Agriculture Project. The loan is to facilitate investors' access to land, strengthen Ghana's investment promotion and infrastructure to attract agribusiness, and promote public-private partnership and smallholder linkage in the Accra Plains and the Sada Zone. This was contained in a speech read on behalf of the Minister of Food and Agriculture by the Deputy Director of the Eastern Regional Directorate of Agriculture, Edward Kofi Ametefe, at the 13th Biennial Workshop of the Ghana Science Association at Tafo in the Eastern Region. Stephen Alphonse Amensa has filed this report.
The Ghana Science Association is a voluntary multidisciplinary association of scientists, technologists, mathematicians, and persons interested in the promotion and advancement of science in national development. It seeks to encourage scientific and technological research and also promote relevant technology transfer to industry and other users. The workshop on the theme, Towards the Sustainability of Agriculture in the Light of the Oil Find in Ghana, The Way Forward, was attended by participants from the public universities, research institutions, the Petroleum Commission, and delegates from the agricultural sector. Mr. Edward Ametefe said, agriculture is a major contributor of the gross domestic product in the country. He said the sector also employs over 50% of the country's active labor force and accounts for about 30% of the total foreign exchange earning of the country. Mr. Ametefe said, government has introduced programs like fertilizer and seed subsidy, food buffer stock management, youth in agriculture, and livestock and fisheries development, among other interventions, to boost the sector. Mr. Ametefe stated that while the oil and gas find can be of a blessing, it has its own negative effects. He therefore called on stakeholders to implement measures to sustain the agricultural sector to prevent the country from suffering the same fate like other oil find countries. The executive director of the Cocoa Research Institute, Dr. Frank Amwa, noted that many countries with oil booms and rich deposits of minerals have often ignored agriculture, leading to severe reduction in vibrant agricultural exports. Dr. Amwa said the oil find poses threat to cocoa farming in terms of human resource, because more youth have shifted their attention to the field. The Deputy Eastern Regional Minister, Ebenezer Okletetelabi, asked stakeholders to deliberate on issues and propose ways of making the sector better and attractive, especially to the youth.
That was Stephen Amponsa Mensah's report. Parliament has commenced the debate on the supplementary budget presented by the Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Dr. Kwabena Dufour, last month. Through the supplementary budget, government is requesting that Parliament approves 2.6 billion Ghana cedis to support the 2012 budget. Presenting the Finance Committee's report on the budget, the Chairman of the Finance Committee, James Kluche Aveji, said there is a positive outlook for the year, but there is the need to put in stiff measures to curtail excess spending by government. A report by Augustus Akwe.
Parliament's Finance Committee Chairman, James Aveji, said there is the need to monitor revenue performance to ensure that the trends observed in the first 5 months of this year are improved. He enumerates on some observations and recommendations the committee noted as it worked on the supplementary budget.
The committee noted that the current development informed the request for the supplementary estimate. Savings on expenditure that government will make from measures undertaken to clean those names from the government payroll. Two, receipt of two major inflows from the World Bank and African Development Bank that were programmed for 2011 but were received in 2012. Additionally, government has granted a base pay increase of 18% to public sector workers for this year, for which the arrears covering January to April will be paid in August and September.
The ranking member of the committee and member for Old Tafo, Dr. Anthony Okotose, adding to the debate, said figures from the Statistical Service show that progress in the various sectors of the economy have not been impressive. He said the migration of workers onto the single spine salary structure has dire implications for economic policy.
If you read the paper, already the Minister of Finance paid 781 million cedis of arrears as a result of the single spine. He is intending to pay another 991 million of arrears by September. In addition to that, he tells us that as a result of the 18% increase, he owes the workers, including members of parliament, 1.1 billion.
A Deputy Minister of Finance and Economic Planning, Seth Tepe, who was in the House, said analysis of the performance of the economy should be at the backdrop of the difficulties the government encountered when it assumed office and the progress that have been made since then. He said the misuse of foreign currency is undermining the value of the cedi. This, he said, has led the Bank of Ghana taking appropriate steps against some financial institutions.
In looking at the situation of foreign account holdings and foreign exchange transactions, the Bank of Ghana has been appealed to point out the misuse of foreign currency both by counterparties and certain individuals, including those who are allowed to retain foreign currency in this country, some of which have been pointed out as finance the foreign bureaus in a way which is not consistent, you know, with the law. And therefore, if the bank will have to take corrective measures which inadvertently is affecting individuals, it is regretted that it is not the intention of the policy to punish Ghanaians for keeping their savings in foreign exchange.
For Radio Ghana News, Augustus Akwi, Accra.
On the international front, the UN Arab League Joint Special Envoy to Syria, Kofi Annan, has resigned from his post. In a news conference, Mr. Annan said the Syrian people desperately need action, but criticized the UN Security Council for finger-pointing and name-calling. Mr. Annan authored a six-point peace plan for Syria, which was intended to bring an end to the fighting, but the plan was never fully adhered to by either side, and the violence has continued to escalate. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said it was with deep regret that he announced Mr. Annan will not renew his mandate when it expires at the end of this month. Speaking in Geneva, Mr. Annan said the increasing militarization of the Syrian conflict has been compounded by the disunity of the international community. Meanwhile, Syria has expressed regret at the resignation of UN Arab League envoy Kofi Annan. The foreign ministry accuses countries which seek to destabilize Syria of having hindered and continuing to hinder the former UN chief's peace mission. The ministry said Syria has always proved it was totally engaged in the Annan plan, despite international criticism of its failure to halt its use of heavy weapons and withdraw from protest centers in accordance with the blueprint. Sending you the main points again. Government has finally identified a special place between Castle Drive and the Marine Drive in Accra as burial grounds for President Mills. President John Mahama, who said this in a statement, noted that the area will be subsequently developed into a presidential mausoleum. Vice President-designate Pakresi Misasa continues to receive more endorsement, with the latest one coming from a political science lecturer at the University of Ghana, Dr. Kwesi Jonah. Speaking to Radio Ghana, Dr. Jonah said the choice of Mr. Misasa as vice president is appropriate. And the UN Arab Peace Envoy to Syria, Kofi Annan, has resigned from his post. Speaking at a news conference in Geneva, Mr. Annan said the increasing militarization of the Syrian conflict has been compounded by disunity within the international community. The news was presented by Samuel Essa in Accra.